I'll start with a little story of my own experience. Last night, I hadn't finished my prayers. I sat down in the chair. I was staying up at the rectory. I fell asleep. I fell fast asleep. I suppose the jet lag. I'm still adjusting to the time. I don't know how long I slept, but it must have been at least 10 minutes. Anyway, and I woke up. You know, I said, oh, man, what happened? It was about 7:30 at night, 7:45. I was just exhausted. Anyway, I kind of woke myself up a little bit. And what I usually do is I try to read the readings of the next day, of the mass readings of the next day before I go to bed, so that I have it in my head. And so I looked at the readings for today, and it turns out to be these virgins who all fell asleep. So I said, I better get up and get some oil. So anyway, that's just a little, I mean, we fall asleep, but that doesn't mean that we're not ready. We just fall asleep, but because all of them fell asleep in the parable, but five were ready and five were not ready because five were wise, five were foolish. Well, before we get into this business of the wise and the foolish virgins, I think it's good to acknowledge something that the Anuim spirituality provides for us, and that is the awareness that the liturgy has its kind of a progression. It keeps building on itself. So what we heard on Sunday or what we heard earlier this week is part of what we're pondering today. It happens that yesterday was the feast of the martyrdom of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist described himself as a friend of the bridegroom. You might remember this passage, John chapter 3. It is the groom who has the bride. The friend of the bridegroom waits to hear his voice. I'm paraphrasing it, something like this. The friend of the bridegroom waits to hear the bridegroom's voice. And when he hears his voice, he rejoices. You know that passage. So John is identifying himself as the friend of the bridegroom waiting for the bridegroom. So of course it's related to this parable. And then he says, he must increase, I must decrease. So that's yesterday's message. John must decrease. So that's why he was martyred before Jesus was. He must increase, I must decrease. And that little expression, could say that's the motto of John the Baptist, is also a summary way of understanding the difference between human wisdom and spiritual wisdom. See, a spiritually wise person says, he must increase, I must decrease. And a spiritually wise person knows that if God increases in my life, in my heart, and in my actions, and I decrease, that's better also for me. It's not like I'm putting myself down or I'm going to lose out. That's wisdom. That's spiritual wisdom. In contrast to that idea, he must increase, I must decrease, you think of the wisdom of the world, which is, I must increase. There's no other part to it. I don't care if anyone else decreases, increase. I don't care what happens to happen to you. I must increase. That's the whole wisdom of the world. So you can see the contrast. The wisdom of the world is self-centered and focused on the glorification of self, no matter what else happens. I must increase. Okay, that comes up in today's first reading. St. Paul is speaking about the distinction between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of the Spirit. And he says, I wasn't sent to impress people with the wisdom of human eloquence. I was sent to proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ, which doesn't impress the worldly, but it is actually the wisdom of God. The cross is the wisdom of God. So when he says here, I wasn't sent with the wisdom of human eloquence, I thought immediately of the display of human eloquence that we see all the time in the political system. The Democratic National Convention was last week or 2 weeks ago. It was recently. I was in the Philippines, but I got reports about it. And there's a lot of eloquent speakers, you know, a lot of human eloquence. They're pretty impressive. And this is always the way in the world. I mean, people who are really good speakers are impressive, and that's why they're given the podium, because they can impress people. And I've heard many times over the years, really impressive, smooth, attractive speakers who are speaking nonsense, foolishness. Might be entertaining, it might be almost convincing, but if you step back a little bit, say, wait a minute, that's not true. But it's certainly human eloquence. And that is it's human wisdom. St. Augustine was very impressed with this. I'm going back 2 days. St. Augustine's feast day was Wednesday. He was very impressed with human eloquence, and that's what he studied as a young man, rhetoric, because he was impressed with the capacity to be able to convince people of something. It wasn't about truth or not. It was about whether you could win the argument or not. So that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, and that's not what we're about here in Christianity. We're not about just winning an argument or impressing with wisdom of human eloquence. We're talking about something that so far transcends it that by comparison, it's foolishness. All that impressive eloquence is foolishness. The cross is what he has come to proclaim. And he says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. You think of that motto of St. John the Baptist, he must increase, I must decrease. How does that sound to the world? Foolishness. Why would I decrease? What good is that going to do me? why shouldn't I be the one to increase? I mean, that's just, and we, it's easy for us to understand that that's how the world thinks because that's how our own nature thinks. Why should I lose? Why should someone else get the benefit? Even God, he's got plenty. He doesn't need me. I should just take care of myself. That's natural human wisdom. And the cross stands in direct contradiction to that. Jesus didn't come to gain anything for himself. He came to give. Okay, so and Paul goes on in this first reading about this distinction between wisdom and foolishness. I love these lines. He makes it as stark as he possibly can. He says, has not God made the wisdom of the world foolish? He's exposed the wisdom of the world to be foolish because by comparison, it is. Since in the wisdom of God, the world did not come to know God through wisdom. It was the will of God that through the foolishness of the proclamation, meaning proclamation of the cross, to save those who have faith. Okay, you know this passage. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. One of the, in contemporary conversation, one of the big concerns is AI, you know, AI, the development of computer technology so advanced that it can teach itself. It can take on a kind of a life of its own. And I think there's a legitimate concern about what's that going to do and what it's all about. But it's still human wisdom. It's still human wisdom being misused and misapplied. Whereas with divine wisdom, we don't have to worry about AI or any other technology, human technology, because we know a power, the power of the cross, the power of faith, which is greater. Another passage came to my mind here. This is actually in today's Office of Readings. So it's not in the daily readings, but in the Liturgy of the Hours. This is a passage from Jeremiah chapter 4. Prophet Jeremiah is proclaiming the upcoming destruction of the city or of Jerusalem. And he's saying, bad days are coming and you should know it. Jeremiah had a very hard message to give, as you know. So as the prophets often do. And he's saying, your sins are going to come down, crashing down on you. And some enemy from the north, is it the Assyrians or somebody's going to come and wipe you out. And then this is what he says. This is God speaking through Jeremiah. Fools my people are, they know me not. Senseless children they are, having no understanding. They are wise in evil, but know not how to do good. They are wise in evil, but know not how to do good. That's foolishness, to be wise and evil. I connect it to the AI thing because there's nothing wrong with AI. I mean, there's nothing wrong with any technological advancement. The question is, how is it going to be used? And people are wise and evil, so they use it for evil purposes, and they don't know how to use it for good. So that's a kind of a condemnation that comes from the prophet. Okay, so let's go now to these wise and foolish virgins. The message is the same, right? The wise are those who are waiting for the bridegroom. The wise are those who are saying, he must increase, I must decrease. I'm waiting for him. My focus is on him. My preparations are for him, not just myself and what I like and what I'm doing right now. And that distinguishes these two groups of virgins. The disturbing thing about this passage for most people is that when the bridegroom actually does come and they wake up and the foolish ones don't have oil, that the wise ones don't do anything to help them. And that's what always bothers people because, well, isn't that the Christian thing to do? You know, take care of people who are in need. And then there's this thing, will go off to buy the oil from the merchants, and you know, it's past midnight, and where are they going to buy oil? And the thing just bothers us. We say it seems impractical. Now, that's because we're applying wrong standards to a parable that's meant to teach a lesson about readiness. The whole point of the parable, as Jesus himself says, is stay awake. You know neither the day nor the hour, meaning stay ready. You don't know when the bridegroom is going to come. So the distinction between the wise and the foolish is not whether they can help each other or not, but whether they're ready themselves or not. Because when the bridegroom comes, the question is whether we're ready or not. In that sense, are we ready for him to increase and for us to decrease? And if we're not, no one can do anything for us. I mean, there's a certain limitation when it comes to transferring to other people the gift of faith. We teach, we give example, we pray, we intercede, but we can't make other people have what we have. Well, parents, my goodness, you're all parents, most of you. you know how difficult it is to have children who don't, I mean, you can't infuse into them what you believe. They have to take some responsibility for themselves. And to not take responsibility for ourselves is to be foolish. That's central to this parable. Why are the 10 foolish virgins foolish? Because they're not taking responsibility for their own spiritual life. They're not ready. They're not saying he must increase. They're just focused on themselves. So that's the foolishness. Well, of course, the warning is to us. Are we ready? Are we awake? Of course, we fall asleep. We fall asleep. That's not a sin to fall asleep. But it's a big problem to spiritually be unready. That kind of sleepiness is a problem. So the liturgy here, along with John the Baptist and St. Augustine and the scriptures of the day, the liturgy is telling us, be ready, be wise, be prepared to stand in contrast to the wisdom of the world, which we won't accept. Won't accept this. Be prepared for that. That's the way it is. But don't let that distract you. Let your focus remain on preparation for the coming of the bridegroom. One last thought about wisdom, since today's Friday and in this chapel, adoration goes on all day today, what, from 1 to 12? Midnight. 1 to midnight. Okay, midnight. Whoever has the last hour can live out this very scripture at midnight. The Lord is it. But my point is this. Adoration is wisdom. Adoration is a great replenishing of the supply of oil. And to the world, it looks foolish. Here it is. It's a holiday weekend coming up, and you got a lot to do, and you're going to take an hour in the middle of the night, or, you know, take an hour on Friday afternoon. To the world, that just looks like a waste of time. Foolishness to the world. But to those who have faith, and I don't have to convince you, those who have faith, a time of adoration, a holy hour, is great, great wisdom, and it really prepares us for the coming and for the presence of the bridegroom.